Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Let's start the show off with a little housekeeping, folks. I've got a couple of emails that came to me from mortgage brokers in the last couple of days that are really pushing the fact that interest rates are going down. Here's one that says interest rates are down as much as 1.70 basis points, 170 basis points, since April. And the point is, it's going across here that at least wise in multifamily, that's what this guy's writing about, but I've seen it in single family also, interest rates have started to drop. Now, why is that important? Well, it was important that interest rates went up high, or higher than they'd been, quite a bit higher than they'd been. Not as high as they could have got, but higher, because that broke the back of this ever-graduating inflation prices to where these apartments were being sold, houses were being sold at prices that just didn't make any sense. Once they hit them with the high interest rates, the sellers couldn't get those prices for it anymore, and the prices on multifamily property dropped between 30 and 40% across the board. Now, understand that that doesn't mean that every single deal was offered 30 to 40% below market. What it meant was that the deals that actually closed 30, 40% below what they had been closing. One of the things that started happening, which doesn't happen in a upward trending market, was people started getting retraded. About 90% of the deals that I put my eyes on, that I saw, that I had anything to do with or was made aware of, 90% of the deals I saw got retraded. Meaning that the seller wanted X, the buyer wanted Y, which was less, and they went into a contract somewhere in between. But when they went through feasibility and the buyer found out exactly what it was going to cost to operate the property, the higher interest rates, the higher property taxes, higher insurance, and so forth, the buyer came back and said, I can't do it. Your number, even though I tried to accommodate you by going meeting you somewhere in between, your number just doesn't make any sense, and I can't do it. I can't close on it. And in most of the cases, 50, 60% of those deals, the seller went ahead and broke and went down to whatever the realistic price was in the deal. So now that prices are 30, 40% lower, if you know how to negotiate for them, the fact that you can get interest rates lower than what they were when we first started getting into this cycle makes this cycle even better. The cycle was good because prices were coming down. It's always good to be buying when a market's going down. It's good to be selling when a market's going up. It's exactly opposite of what you would think. I know that. It's counterintuitive. I buy whenever the market's crashing. I sell whenever the market's peaking. It's not because that's the only thing and the only way you can make money in real estate, because you make money in real estate many other ways, which I've covered many other times and I will cover again in the future many times. But just this last little component of, hey, when should you be buying? You should be buying when the prices are going down. But when you butter that, it's like taking a really nice peanut butter sandwich and adding some jelly on top of the peanut butter. Man, that is sweet when you can not only get a good price and get yourself a good interest rate. So I just wanted to bring that up to get started here today and let you all know that you need to be out there. You know, it's like I told you 2 years ago this would happen back in beginning 21, 22. I started talking about this. Prices started going down in 23 and 24. We're in 24 now. So I told you it was going to happen. It did happen. It has now concluded what I told you would happen. I told you the prices would come down, the interest rates would go up, and that people are going to get stuck in these adjustable rate interest rates, all right? The difference now is interest rates are going down. So you now have a different position to take in all this. And that position is along the lines of, you can get into a deal and you can have an interest rate, but if the interest rates go down even further, they will let you refinance. Now, when the interest rates are going up, they would have let you refinance, but you can't because you don't qualify. Your loan interest rate cost debt coverage ratios were not being met. And so there's no way you can refinance when interest rates are going up. But you can refinance when interest rates are going down. So now you can be confident you can buy something. And even though you've locked in an interest rate right now, I think they're about 5.75, something like that. If it goes down to 5 or 4 or whatever, you can refinance and get a lower interest rate. It will be possible. So there you go. You got the best of both worlds. You can lock in a low price, and then if interest rates go down. There's a saying in this business that you marry the property and you date the finance terms. In other words, the finance terms can come and the finance terms can go, but the marriage of the property is something you have to live with, right? So this is something you want to think about. Let's go ahead and get into the mailbag now. I've got, today we're going to talk about some young people stuff. I find it interesting that the young people in our society have to make some really strange decisions now. Back when I was growing up, the world was pretty defined. I mean, we pretty much knew what was going to happen. People knew if they got a job, they could, you know, buy a house, save up and buy a house. They could buy cars. They could pay their bills. They could have kids. Nowadays, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it's really bizarre out there right now. And because it's bizarre, you know, people have questions as to where can I go and what can I do and what makes more sense. So I understand the younger folks out there have some distress. I mean, who knows where this country's going to go from right now. If you're watching the politics at all, they've got to be driving you as crazy as they are me. I literally had to stop watching politics because it's gotten so nasty and it's gotten so unrealistic. I mean, it's just like lies after lies after lies after lies. So I can't let that get me down because my life goes on. Your life goes on. What I do need to do is make sure my investments are right. That's what we're here talking about. So the first email is from a young couple, maybe only one. I'm not sure. Let's see what it is here. It's a young lady. I won't give you her name because I didn't ask permission to put this on the show. It says, I attended one of your seminars 7 years ago. Wow, that's amazing. When I was only 15 years old. Now I'm 22, graduated, and looking to invest in my first $30,000. I want your advice on what my next step should be. I currently am a realtor in the state of Arizona, but once I'm eligible to get my broker's license, I would like to start my own property management business. All right, so I'm going to make that note number one, the desire to own a property management business. We will come back to that. Right now, I'm looking to invest in a subject to property. All right, there's another disaster. Let's circle that one and come back to that one. Subject to property. And rent it to a Section 8 tenant. And there we go, the trifecta. This young lady is about to do three of the most wrong things you could possibly do in life. To grow my cash flow. What would you do if you were me starting? My goal is to make $10,000 in passive income before I turn 25. What you're doing is all wrong. And I told her that. I said, you know, you need to listen to this show. I didn't even write her back because there's so many things wrong with what she's doing. I couldn't possibly cover them all in an email. But let's start out with the property management business. If you were a realtor and or a broker of any kind, the property management business is the absolute worst part of real estate investing out there. This lady's doing it as a job. So the first thing she did was went out and got a real estate agent's license. Okay, now she says she wants to get a broker's license so she can be a property management company. The property management end of the business is the worst part of what we do. I'd rather go out and sell 4 houses and make a ton of money on each house I sell, or 10 houses make even more money than what I sell, than to have to manage a property. Because, first of all, you're only getting a small fee for doing so. And as the fee, no matter how hard you work, no matter how good you do, the fee doesn't get any larger. So when you're in this situation, you get no recognition for being good and tons of problems when you're not, because people will just scream and yell you're ruining their investment. It's a nightmare. Now, what's a nightmare about it? Well, you have to actually operate properties, in which case you're going to have a couple of major problems. The first most important problem is payroll, people. Now, many of us have our own property management companies. I own one. And but I don't operate it, right? I have my wife operate it, and she's got people that she likes, and she's got a good staff of people she can trust. But that's her personality, and she's good at that, and she likes doing it. But she has it developed so much over the last 20 years she's been doing this, 25 years she's been doing this, that it's easy for her. But during the 14 years that we've been together, there have been some times where there's just some knockout, dragged down, impossible situations that just drove her crazy. And hence, I got them beat up against me because I was a part of her life and, you know, so on and so forth. It's not easy to manage these properties. And payroll and staff and hiring and maintaining staff, that's a difficult one. Not very many people have the personality for that. I don't think a 23-year-old has the personality for that. You need to be almost like mama and papa to employees. It's strange in these days and age, it's more difficult to hire people. It's more difficult to keep people. You also have vendors that don't perform. So you hire them to do work and they don't get it done right and whatever. Worst of all, I think, is the fact if you don't own your own properties and be a management company, if I set a plan in motion, we're going to do this, we're going to accomplish these four or five things, I'm there to back those goals with money. If you're a property management company, you can't even go in and say, you know, you're doing this all wrong, you need to do X and make this thing work. And the seller may go, no, I'm cheaping out. I'm not fixing all the stuff you say I should fix. I'm not going to spend money. And there you are. You're managing something that's falling apart. It gets filled up with purple Martians, people that don't pay. They destroy everything. And then you're stuck in this business. It's just a miserable part of the business. Whereas owning the properties is what I'm trying to teach people to do. And she did get to that a little later in the email. But owning the properties is where you make the money. If you own that property and the things are done right, you can make a ton of money. If the property management does an absolutely great job and they make a ton of money, the property management doesn't get any of that. The owner gets that. So I've gone into deals where I've made, you know, 100% return, 200% return, 500% return. I put the best deal I ever did was I bought a, what was it? It was a 68-unit apartment complex for $1.2 million, and I bought it for nothing down. I used credit for the down payment. I then made it worth $1 million more, so I made $1 million on zero down. Now, I didn't, you know. Yeah, I managed that property, but I had my management company and team, which I control, involved. So I had total control of everything. It wasn't me fighting somebody over what we could do or not do. The guy previous to me had no idea what he was doing. So it was very easy for me to fix those things. Now, second best deal I ever did, I put $100,000 in the deal and I walked away with $1.3 million. Now, you got to think about that. You're not going to make that kind of money being in the property management business, right? So let's move on to the second thing she brought up was she wants to buy a property subject to. Now, what does that mean? First of all, that means that there's a loan on the property already, and that loan, I'm sure, because she's going to be buying a house, is a situation that if you sell the house, you have a due-on-sale clause on there, meaning you're really not supposed to allow someone to assume that loan. If it was an assumable loan, she'd say, I'm buying a property with an assumable loan. What she's doing, she's buying a property that's not assumable. The loan is not assumable, and she's buying it subject to that risk that the finance company may come back and ask her to refinance the property. Whew. That is massively risky, and especially massively risky for a 22-year-old. Think in this situation, I could do something like that because if the bank called the loan on a house, I could easily stroke a check for the whole price of whatever the house is and walk away. And she might get in this thing and they call the loan, she'd be upside down, lose her hind end. Very, very risky approach. Nothing that I teach. I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years. I've seen everything that anybody's ever come up with. Everything from Dave Del Dotto, Robert Allen, Jeff Acone, Tommy Vu, the Milans, Ron LeGrand, Carl Cheese, Robert Kiyosaki, even Donald Trump. They've all been around. They've all come up with all these something for nothing, instantaneously, gratificationally diseased, midnight madness ideas of how you can buy real estate subject to or without any money, without any loan, without any debt, without any credit. All that sounds great until it all blows up in your face. Why are poor people poor? Because they do poor people types of things. This is a poor people type of thing to do, and it could blow up and make this young lady poor the rest of her life. She could ruin her credit. She could ruin her financial situation all by starting by doing the wrong kind of deal. I really hope she listens to this radio show and doesn't do this particular deal. doesn't make sense. All right. Now, the third part of what she's doing wrong is she wants to rent to a Section 8 tenant. Section 8 housing is where the government pays the tenant's rent. There is probably nothing more wrong that you can do than rent out a beautiful rent house to a Section 8 housing tenant. Section 8 housing tenants, you have to come realize, they are people that believe the government owes them a place to live for free. This type of mentality leads to all kinds of disasters, of which I'll tell you about when we come back from break. Take a short one. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Are you caught in the hamster wheel of life, day in and day out, looking for a new solution? Well, today you can take action to retire in 5 years or less. How? Passive income through real estate investing. And the team to help you? Lifestyles Unlimited. For more than 33 years, our team of successful educators and mentors teach folks just like you the roadmap to retirement through real estate. Learn from the best. Lifestyles Unlimited, known for the systems and support to help you real estate retire, just like Chad and Lisa.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off the butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today with this introductory offer for $297, the Lifestyles Unlimited Financial Freedom Program. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're in the mailbag and I'm stuck on one email here where this lady's doing three different things wrong. I just want you to understand that you can get into real estate and you can lose your behind if you do stuff wrong. Most people have no idea what wrong is. And this next issue, which is renting your house out to Section 8 housing, which is government housing, is the worst of all three of the things she's doing. Government housing is designed for people that can't take care of themselves. When they can't take care of themselves, they can't take care of your house. They can't take care of responsibilities. To do business with the government, I'm a libertarian, you're a Republican or Democrat, whatever you are, to deal with the government's always more of a hassle than to not deal with the government. Anything and everything the government gets involved in is terrible, right? It's just they do everything poorly. Anything that could be done by the government could be done by the private sector much better, much quicker, and much cheaper. So Section 8 housing is no difference. I mean, I've had tenants shoot each other within these housing, Section 8 housing. I've had wives shoot their husbands. I've had kids shoot other kids where they got in a fight with them, one of their buddies, and they shot their buddies. You just don't get this kind of stuff if you're screening tenants. But you can't screen Section 8 housing tenants because they are the government is guaranteeing the rent and the government is guaranteeing the repairs. You can't screen them. They got to say, look, they're not the problem. The problem is you as a landlord. Either you do what we tell you to do or you don't get paid. And I've seen them hold people's checks because the tenant called and complained on something. And so they hold the check until they can get out there and inspect it or whatever, or until you fix something. Now, that just doesn't happen in the real world, except maybe in crazy states like California, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, and New York. These are all totally controlled by Democrats, and they have what are laws that are anti-landlord. They're against the landlord. They're for the tenant, but not responsibly for the tenant. They're irresponsibly for the tenant and totally unresponsibly to the landlord. The landlord's getting shafted in these deals. And so as you see what's happening, people are moving out of California in massive droves. People are laying on the streets. People are, you know, laying in their own feces in the streets. People are, have tents on the streets. I mean, because there's no housing. Why is there no housing in California? Because they have destroyed the mechanism of creating housing, which is to allow the landlord to make a profit for putting up with tenants, allow the landlord to make a profit for investing in a piece of real estate. A landlord has bought something, put investment money into something, offered it out, has cleaned and maintained this property for someone to have a clean, functional lifestyle. They should be able to make a profit, but there they don't let them. They have rent controls. They have all kinds of stuff that just makes it impossible for a landlord. So my friends, what do we gain from this? We need to understand all the problems here. Number one, being a property management company is the least fun and less profitable way to make money in real estate. Number two, a subject to property is the riskiest thing you can possibly do and makes absolutely no sense at all if you don't have a ton of money in the pocket in case they call the loan. And number three, Section 8 housing is the number one worst possible thing you can do to your rent house. You will get it back destroyed. The average cost to me when tenants moved out of Section 8 housing was $3,000 a door. The average cost to me back then, and remember I did this, you know, when I started, I don't do it anymore, but the average move out, make ready back then would be less than $500. But with Section 8 housing, the move out, make ready was average $3,000. They tear up the carpet. They tear up the walls. They tear up the fixtures and appliances. They tear everything up. You say, but Dell, that is so prejudiced. No, it's not prejudice. I didn't say any race, any nationality, any creed, any color, any family status. I simply said those people that are that bad all are going to gravitate towards Section 8 housing. And so the government is not going to protect you in these situations. Believe it or not, the government is never going to protect the landlord. Here's another one. Pick this one up. My name is Ryan and married, and we are expecting our first child in 2 months. Congratulations, sir. I've been listening to you for 4 years, basically since COVID started. I'm in the south of Denver area. And I am an HVAC technician, and my wife is a psychologist with her own practice. Well, very successful. That's great. We both currently rent like average millennials. We have a decent savings between our retirement, cash and brokerage investments totaling around $75,000 to $80,000. We make a combined $180,000 a year currently. I have a lot of questions for you, but the best place I know is to start with this. How do my wife and I get started in real estate investing while also trying to find our own home? I would love to talk to someone. All right, so the bottom line is this. He wants to buy his own home and buy a rental property at the same time, and the pressure when you got a new kid coming and everything is intense. I've gone through this with my kids. It's really weird once the family gets pregnant, they start, you know, worrying about these things they never worried about before. And I'm going to share with you the ideas I shared with my kids and just let you understand this. I would not go out and buy a home right now, because if you go out and buy a home, it's going to make a ding in your both your income. You won't be able to earn more income, and it's going to make a ding in your credit because you're going to have debt now that you didn't have. What's better is to go out and buy a rental house. Stay where you're at, wherever you're renting, just stay renting right now. Go buy your first rental house. When you buy that, the income from that house is going to cover your debt coverage. So let's say the house rents for $2,000 a month and the mortgage payment is $1,000 a month. You actually have $1,000 a month of positive income. Now, let's say it's not that much of a spread. Let's say you know it's $2,000 and your mortgage payment is, and this is the key factor, it's 75% of what the rent is. That's the key. So let's go to that. Let's go to 75% of what the rent is. Let's say it's $2,000 rent times 0.75. Okay, $1,500. So if the mortgage payment is $1,500 or less, the rent will cover the mortgage payment and wash it out on your income statement. That means you're exactly in the same place you started from and you can buy another house, right? If you go buy a house for yourself and you got $2,000 a month mortgage payment, you've got $2,000 a month debt that's not covered by income. And so you will not be able to buy any more houses. You will be done probably. Although you do have good income. I think the income is $180,000 a year. So you might even be able to buy yourself one and rent a house. But here's the deal. If you go out and play this smart and you buy one or two or three rental properties before you buy that first residence, you're going to have so much extra income coming in. Your income is going to go up from $180,000 to whatever else it is. Let's say you have $500 a month positive cash flow. That's $1,500 a month times 10 would be $15,000 a year plus another $3,000. So it's $13,000 a year. So instead of making $180,000 a year combined, you're making $193,000. So it makes it very easy for you to go out and buy the home that you would like to have for yourself. And it doesn't mess up your debt to income ratio. Now, once you go buy that personal residence, you are going to lock in that debt. And it's going to be calculated into your debt-to-income ratio every time you try to buy another rental house. Now, hybrid, which is the best of the best of the West, is single-family houses, duplexes, and fourplexes are all considered single-family houses. So you could go buy a duplex or a fourplex. Now, you're a young couple. You're going to have a dream home someday. But your first baby and your first home doesn't need to be a dream home. What I would do when I told my kids I would do is I would go buy a duplex and live in one side, rent the other, and live rent-free. Think about that. If the one side of the mortgage of the $2,000 a month rent on that duplex probably covers the mortgage. And so you're living rent-free. And you own a piece of real estate. Fourplex is even better. Now you get four people paying you, let's say $1,500 a month because they don't pay as much as a duplex or a house, $6,000. But you're using one of the units, so it's $1,500 times three is $4,500, and that will easily cover the mortgage payment. So you're living for free, maybe even have some positive cash flow in a fourplex. You do that for a year or two, you got all kinds of baby problems. Brand new home, you don't have the time to go fix up and make ready a new home. You got to take care of that baby. If this is your first one, you don't realize. I mean, I've got grandkids now, and luckily some of the grandkids live close enough to us where we have them around. And it's a full-time job, man. If you're working, and both of you are working, and you got a baby, you do not need to be out there maintaining your own personal residence. You need to rent and not have to maintain. You need to take care of that baby. And then, it gets to be a year and a half old. It's walking. Things are cool. You make the next decision. What is the next decision? Well, my kids decided they want another baby. So they're still living where they're living. Now, you just keep buying properties. You get wealthier and wealthier. And by the time you got your two or three or four kids, whatever it is you want, you own a bunch of real estate. You're financially successful. One of my kids, our kids, Melissa and mine, married a guy whose father is also into real estate. So his father's retired on real estate. Their father's retired. I'm retired on real estate. And so they see this world where nobody has a job on either side of their family, which really kind of is mind-boggling. And so they get the picture. You, my friend, if you're brand new and all your parents on both sides work, like you both have good jobs, right? By the way, that HVAC job should be a high-paying job right now, man. We just can't find those guys. They're just not building them anymore. People are willing to work for a living. It's unbelievable. So that's a great job. Well, as you go on, you will decide for yourself whether or not you want to be successful someday. So make those decisions young. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.